Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 715. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is on the floor by my feet, soaking up the sun as it's 10:23 a.m. in the morning as I'm recording this. Yes. And I'm a little beat up. I was doing pretty good until right before I was going to start recording. And I had to actually take a break beforehand because I've been dealing with some ingrown toenails situation. I just smacked my big toe. That's the real problem. And yeah, it's still feeling a little rough. I've been actually also been having to kick the caffeine again. I was getting the caffeine headaches, which fucking suck. But I was debating on whether or not to have a Red Bull before doing this, because you know I often find it's best to like wean myself off of it instead of going completely without it. But we'll see if I get a headache again today. I had zero caffeine yesterday, and I was dealing with headaches. But I don't really have a real serious headache yet, so I'm hesitant to pop the Red Bull. But I'm trying to cut the caffeine out of the picture again. Let's see how long it lasts. Anyway, the toe situation. I've had plenty of ingrown toenails, and you know, this one's pretty bad. This one's pretty rough. I haven't had one this bad, at least in a long time. Long distance running actually helped get rid of the ingrown toenails, although I think it kind of made it worse or a problem for me. But once I started actually running marathon distance and like training for marathons regularly, I would end up losing my toenails. And then that just completely fixed the whole thing. And it killed the feeling in my toes. So if there was like an ingrown toenail or whatever, I couldn't feel it anyway. But I haven't ran a marathon in many years now. My toes, there's a lot of feeling in there. And there's an ingrown toenail. Well, mainly it's my two big toes that are the real issues here, on both feet. But my right foot, that one's the real issue. The one on my left foot doesn't really bother me so much. But the one on my right foot, I feel like it happened right around the time it started to become an issue when doing the indoor climbing, which I've only done a couple times so far. I wish I could do it all the time, but, you know, the price of gas and cutting back of hours at work made it a little difficult to continue doing that. But anyway, yeah, I've found some ways to alleviate some of the pain from the ingrown toenails. I need to actually go get some more Epsom salt, but I've been got a little foot bath thing with little jets in it, that a plug-in that I've had for years. But I rarely ever use it. But apparently, washing your feet in Epsom salt, or I don't know if soaking your feet in Epsom salt is more appropriate. And not the Mormon soaking. We're not talking about sticking your dick in and then having somebody just jump up and down on the bed while you're not actually doing the pushing yourself. Not that kind of soaking. anyway, I don't know if I'm picking up that audio from outside. Anyway, yeah, not the Mormon soaking, but a soaking, like a literal soaking, like soaking my feet in some Epsom salt, throwing it in a little tub and whatnot. It helps loosen your feet. I guess it takes the swelling away is one of the big part, because that's where most of the pain comes from, is the swelling. You know, I got a big, thick big toe right now. Anyway, yeah, I ran out of Epsom salt, so I gotta get more of that. But also, I was taking, after soaking my toes, again, not the Mormon soak. as I'm just not going to get that out of my head as I'm talking about it, but doing the soak, and after getting that out, which there's going to be some TMI here for sure, because my toes are disgusting in general, especially from, like, they were before I got into long distance running, they were pretty nasty, but after years of long distance running, it's they're disgusting. They're absolutely disgusting. And I used to have, when I would lose the toenails. I've never lost a toe. I had a friend that lost part of a toe while running a very long race that I've never attempted to run, like 100 miles. I've never gone that far. Anyway, after losing a toenail, usually I have like layers of toenail. And just like it gets really disgusting underneath. But I currently don't have like two layers of toenails on at least my big toes. And I guess because I used to have like layers of toenails, like there's a big gap between my toenail and actual toe. like a really large gap. And I think that's a good reason as to why that I'm having issues with the ingrown toenail. thing is that my actual toe isn't like pushing up on the nail at all. So, and I recently dug out my socks from work. Like the lint from that ends up building up under the toenail. I think after clearing that out, my toenail went further in and like ingrown. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but. I'm guessing that contributed to the situation a little bit. Anyway, so after the soak, I bought a kit for ingrown toenails that's got like I guess you'd call it a scraper. I don't know what the technical term is, but it looks like almost like a scalpel, but it's not a scalpel. There's no sharp edge. It's like two ends. One's like it's like metal. And like it looks like almost like a scraper on like one side, and then the other side is just kind of like a flat paddle, and it's used for getting the gunk, I guess, out of there. And then it's comes with some nice like clippers that are meant for getting the spikes after you like cut out an ingrown toenail on the sides where it's ingrown. It'll cause spikes. Anyway, I got to use that little paddle thing to dig out the gunk from underneath my toenail. And then I had seen some YouTube videos where people had suggested using floss and putting that underneath your toe. And I had already gotten some cotton balls. I had some cotton balls. Oh, a bunch of balls. There's 100 balls in there from Walgreens. And so I took cotton balls and then pushed, not a full cotton ball. I had to break some cotton off. I don't have that. But there's a nice size gap between the toenail and toe. Not that big of a gap, though. Not enough for a full ball. But I used that paddle thing to, like, push. Spreader. I don't know what you want to call that. I pushed that underneath my toe to, like, help push the nail up to be able to hopefully, it stops growing into the toe and just, you know, force it out a little bit. And I'm going to definitely have to soak my feet again later. And it's making it very difficult to run. I've only ran one day this week. And I'm just trying to get the nail to stop growing in and stick it out. But yeah, that's so I'm starting off on a good foot, if you will. My shit is still a little tender after smacking it. And I also got a little thing that there's a ingrown toenail like kit, another kit that comes with like a pain reliever thing that you put over the toe. And I don't know, I feel like it helped a little bit. I didn't do it again. Like there's this little like, it's not plastic. It's like a, oh, I guess it's a foam ring with a little slot in it that you put over the toe, like where you're having the issue, and you the slot helps the pain reliever is like a ointment, I guess you'd say, in a tube, and then you pour it into the slot of the ring where you're having the problem with the ingrown toenail, and it holds it in there with the slot and the little band-aid thing you put over it. But then, like, of course, when I took the foam off, it is got an adhesive on. It was kind of a bitch to pull that off. My toe to clean that off properly. As you know what, man, I might have to stop soon to get a Red Bull because the caffeine headaches are starting to come now. Like, damn it. I didn't want to do it, but I have found in the past it's not good to when I've gone too long of a stretch with going like caffeine every day to go like cold turkey to like, you know, wean myself off of it. And I feel like I should probably just pause and go get a Red Bull. Like, shit. Because it could be a long day if I don't. Though, should I muscle through? You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna pause and I'm gonna get a Red Bull. All right. Well, I caved. But I originally planned like every other day to cut it down to that. But so I haven't like completely caved on the caffeine bit. So as long as I just go tomorrow without having caffeine. I'm thinking we're going to need some on Tuesday, though, so the other day thing's not going to work out because I'm going to have to go run, do a trail run. As long as my foot's better. So I might just try to pass caffeine the next 2 days after having this Red Bull that I'm still working on. I haven't had time for it to really hit the bloodstream yet, so I think it might be a minute before he gets ahead of to go away. Anyway, though, the wall situation. So, I believe last week, I don't think I had painted any of the orange yet. I know I had started working on, I think I had painted primer over, some of the areas to cover up the lines. The pencil marks that I had on the walls were like the big thing, doing some touch-ups with the inner hexagons of the red and what have you, and just touching some stuff up. If I remember, maybe I had already started painting the orange, but either way, I've painted some of the orange. It seems like every step of the way of painting the Overlook Hotel pattern on my wall has been like, it'll seem like when I get one part done, like, oh, that, I think that was the hardest part. And then I start the next thing, like, oh no, now I'm on the hardest part. But I've actually got the orange over the first corner. Which is like, man, I don't even know if that's an eighth of the way done. It's like the smallest section of wall. But I got it around one of the corners, which the corners are the hardest part to paint around. And again, it's that hexagon pattern with the black, orange, and red. And the orange is the last color I'm painting. And, I've had to, my idea now, before when I was doing the black and the red, obviously with the red, I did it all, at once with the black and the red. I did the painter's tape and I painted after I had taped everything off. But then I had the real issue with the black that, you know, of course, it bled under the tape everywhere. And I had to go back through and scrape off. If there was large amounts of paint underneath, I scraped it off the X-Acto blade. And I did this all the scraping where I had large amounts of paint. I scraped that off. But now I've, instead of doing the whole wall in one thing, like redoing the primer over the whole thing to cover up the pencil marks, I've decided not to do that. All at once, at least. Whereas it seemed better for my mental stability if I could see some of the wall being finished. So I have actually got finished, about finished, because I'm still going to have to go through and touch. I've still got some touch-ups to do on the stuff that I do have finished. But I've been also touching up as I go along and paint more sections. But I've got like a very small part of the wall that I'd say is like complete. Again, you might need to touch up a couple of spots. There's like some spots in the orange where I will need to do that again. When I get done with this, I've got to go back down there and I'm going to touch up some spots of the red on the next section where I'm going to paint the orange. And then when I start doing that, I will do some more touch-ups on the stuff that's pretty much done, because there's a couple of spots where I do need to like hit again with like the orange, where I've already painted orange. But for the most part, it's pretty relieving to actually look at the wall and see what the finished product is. Because, again, I started this project back in February 11th. And, you know, it's now May 2nd. So I've been on it for like a couple of days. It'll be 3 months. Yeah, 3 months. Holy shit. I've been working on it for a long period of time. And I have, since they are cut our hours this week and next week, so I've got a 4-day weekend right now. And overtime's probably going to be back within a couple of weeks, I'm hoping. Not that I like overtime, but I need the cash. And I know that since I have the days off, like I need to try and muscle through this and get as much as done as possibly can. And next week, I know, is Mother's Day. So I'll be taking my mother out for that one. And so I won't have a whole lot, and it's a normal weekend. Only having Saturday and Sunday off next week, so I know I'm not going to get much time then. So I'm hoping to get a lot of it done this weekend. And although I do have to change my oil, I really need to do that. I'll try to hopefully do that on Monday. Anyway, but it's a slow process since I'm having to put a good deal of primer over the area that I'm going to end up painting the orange, because there's some dark pencil lines where I drew the pattern on the wall. It is so monotonous. And the sucky part about that is I am not to the part that has the darkest lines. Like the stuff I was going over last night with the primer, I'm only doing small sections of the wall at a time. But it took quite a few coats there of the primer to cover up the lines enough to where you shouldn't be able to see it once I put the orange on there. But once I hit the second corner that I have to go over, that's where the real tricky part is, because I redrew those lines like 3 or 4 times. And I really drew those lines on dark when I got the final line so I could tell which fucking line I was going off of. And, yeah, I could really, in hindsight, I feel like I could have done things a lot differently in doing this, at least maybe drawing those lines on there lighter. I don't know. Or, you know, doing them right the first time to where I didn't have to do it multiple times and draw really dark ass lines on the wall. So it'd be really hard to paint over. I feel like there's, you know, this could have been, it could have been easier. Or just use something other than just like a normal pencil. I don't know what I could have used. you know, had I really thought this through, I could have used a color pencil maybe that was just orange. That was close in color. But there's no going back now. In the, the reality of the situation is I didn't know what the fuck I was doing when I started the project. I mean, I knew I could paint this on the wall. I knew I could do it. I knew it was going to be a huge hassle and, it would take time because I've never attempted anything quite like this. not on a wall and to this scale. And I know, you know, getting straight lines, good straight lines is rather difficult when like painting and, but I knew I could get it done and I'm getting it done, but shit, it is, it's just monotonous and, I just try to get a little bit done, you know, each day. Maybe a day or so here and there when I just don't have the time when I'm doing other shit. I can't squeeze it in. But it's like I just gotta get a little bit done each day to keep that forward progress going. And then, you know, hopefully I will be done one day. Although I did find, again, like what I was talking with the touch-ups, I am finding myself going back and touching up stuff over and over again where I had already quote unquote finished. And I foresee that happening a lot. And especially once I have it completely done, man, I know there's going to be, again, I'm trying to like touch up as I go to get it to where I want it. But there's definitely some areas, man, I feel like the stencil was kind of the biggest problem. The biggest thing is the lines weren't perfect on that stencil. There were some lines are thicker in parts, and other areas they're like thinner. It's like, but it's a real, I imagine when they cut it out, I mean, it's a real thin, it's not really plastic. I guess it's sort of plastic, but it's real flimsy. Imagine rather hard to cut. But I wish the stencil was more exact. Because my, you know, I don't notice it when I'm standing, you know, on the floor like normal, just looking up at it from below. But glancing, when I really stare at it, of course, I can really notice like that line's fucking off, that line's off. And also it helps that with the black, the black is actually centered in between the lines that I drew because I used the painter's tape to fix the lines because that was the width I really wanted the lines. But there are some areas where I can tell where I painted the black, the line's a little fucking off because the line is right next to it. I have fixed a couple of spots by retaping the line and like painting over it. But there's definitely some other lines I'm going to have to fix, like retaping and painting. Oh, it is just, there's just so much to it. It's like, man, I'm certain at this point that I will not be attempting to paint that pattern again in the dining room, which I was initially thinking that I would do. There wouldn't be any corners I would have to go over, but man, again, this is taking me like 3 months. I don't want to spend another 3 to 4 months painting this pattern somewhere else. I have turned into Jack Nicholson as playing Jack Torrance in The Shining. I can't say that. I haven't been turned into him just yet, as I was going to say the scene where he's just typing and typing and typing, and then when Shelley Duvall's character, of course, finds what he's been writing, it's just hundreds of pages of the same thing typed over and over again, whereas all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I believe is what he typed on there. That's what he was getting done. He was getting done nothing. I am actually getting somewhere. I am not just painting this. Well, I'm sort of painting the same thing over and over again, but it is what I intended to do. I'm not writing a novel here. I was hoping to get, I had mentioned before about, last week I had talked for a while, I guess, about the movie posters I had gotten, the smaller movie posters, which I have gotten all of those in that I had ordered. Man, it's tempting to buy more, though. Man, eBay just keeps sending me alerts about more of that shit going on sale, which, man, I tell you what, if you're a big movie fan, if you want to put cool little posters up, and those small ones are really cool. It is cheaper to get the light frames for the small, the 5x25 inch movie posters, but man, there's a fuck ton of them on eBay. There's a few different sellers that do it, and man, they do look really cool in that light box. I did finally get in the Tropic Thunder one, which got lost in shipping. I contacted the seller though, and he was able to, I don't remember if it was USPS or UPS, one of the two, if it was the regular post office. But they, he contacted him, they were able to locate it, and it took close to a month to finally get, but I've got, the three Evil Dead posters now, the Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army of Darkness. And the Explorers, Glorious Bastards, and Tropic Thunder, and they do look pretty fucking cool in the lights. And the Explorers ones look super fucking cool in the light. I would say, like, of all of them, Evil Dead 2, I thought Dead by Dawn, Explorers. And I guess Tropic Thunder would be the ones that I think look the best. I mean, the Inglourious Basterds looks decent in the light. But what's cool about it, though, is I might have spot. You know, I only have like four frames. I only have one currently. The other three should be getting here, according to the tracking information, Monday. I was hoping to have it by today. I have, because I did some loose measurements. I didn't measure it exactly. It's kind of a hard spot to measure without having somebody else around to hold the tape measure on the side of the wall for me. So I've kind of made some loose measurements by myself, but it definitely, I mean, it's, if I measured it right, there is enough space on the wall to put five of those posters up there. I would have to order another frame, though. And the power strip I have is, I don't think I could fit five adapters in there. I only think it would fit four, so I'd have to order another power supply, which would be a bit challenging. Really, the idea was I wanted to wait before I, because it would be, I mean, the more poster frames I have up there, the cooler it would be, really, because there's so many of those I can get. But, I mean, it's cool that I can just easily swap out the posters, because there's just a magnetic cover on the outside of them that you can, like, take off to be able to swap out posters, like, super easy. So I can just, so having multiple posters is pretty cool, because I'm like, you know what, I'm bored of this one, let's put this other poster up for a while. really, I'm not going to know about where I'm going to mount all of those posters yet until I get those other frames in. And if I get another frame, really going to depend on, I want to see just visually, to get an idea where those frames are going to end up being. And I figured I was probably going to recruit maybe the Muffin Man to come over and help me once I get those, to be able to hang those on the wall and figure out just how much space there's going to be in between each frame. Like if there's like big gaps, you know, in between with the four, because even like doing the like a loose measurement, you know, I can guesstimate how like how many inches there's going to be. I can have in a gap. I want it to be symmetrical, you know, the same kind of gap in between each one. But yeah, anyway, I want there to be, you know, just the right amount of space. I think just having nails into the drywall, like I don't think nails or screws. I don't think that those frames are heavy enough to require to go into a stud or put drywall anchors in the wall. I don't think I need to go that far. That might be a little bit heavier than a normal frame, but I mean, it's a small frame. I think it'll be all right. I don't think they'll come off the wall that I have to worry about that kind of that amount of weight. Just having those two, I really don't want to put anchors into the wall. Those are a pain in the ass. And if you ever want to take them out, you know, it's a real pain in the ass. You got to patch the wall and everything. Anyway, so I've got that to look forward to. That is, I'm excited though. I like the way the posters look when they get all lit up. And I did get some tracks. I don't know what you call the tracking to cover the wires, because of course they are not battery powered, the lights in the frames. And so I've got some tracks with some spray paint on the way. I don't have the spray paint yet of the same color I painted the walls. So I can hide the wires with the tracking and then paint them with the same color there. So that's, you know, I don't know when I'm going to actually do the stuff with the frames though, because maybe I'll just get so tired of painting. I'm like, let's get a refresher, let's get a break, and let's figure out where we're going to mount these things. It might be at least several weeks before I attempt to hang up all those frames. I need to get that painting done. That needs to, it has consumed so much of my life recently. I need to just fix the hanging of the poster frames. I feel like I could do that in a day's time. Like that's not something that, you know, should take forever. I know when I hung the movie posters down the hallway, which I've got quite a few of those, and they're the big, what is it, 24 by 36 inch frames, your standard movie poster frames. I hung quite a few of those in the hallway. But with that I think was slightly easier to do because I was able to just lay the movie poster frames up against the wall and then do my measurements via just having them sit against the wall and figure out exactly where I want them. It'll be a little tricky to do that in the dining room because I'm hanging them above the sliding glass door. I don't have a wall where I can just lay the shit against. It's kind of a weird area. Yeah, so I'm going to have to really, I did run into problems when I was doing it down the hall that I fucked up one of my measurements, and it was a measurement because I figured out exactly where I wanted like the first frame, and then I had to do measurements to have the exact same distance in between each one. Somewhere I fucked up within like the going to the second one, I fucked up the measurement, and I went ahead and put all the fucking holes in the wall for where I needed to hang the frames, and then realized after, you know, trying to hang them that they were not in the right spot. That I fucked up just one of the measurements and it threw all of them off. And it was late at night when I did it. What can I say? My brain wasn't operating correctly. But they look good now, man. I got the measurements just right now, but I only fucked it up the one time. I was able to renavigate and put them where they needed to go. And yeah, that was, I'm nervous that, you know, I am going to fuck up a few times trying to get the frames just right down the hallway. Or not the hallway, but in the dining room. But there's only 4 frames I'm hanging up, so it's not like I hung up. See here. There was 5 frames down the hall, but they were the bigger frames. And it was, I guess it'd be about the same. But I also had frames that went around the corner, which a little hard to fuck up that, that measurement. Because I just centered it on the wall. I didn't have to worry about the other frames. I got like 7 frames down the hallway. But only 5 of them on the one wall where I had to do the measurements and get that shit right. Man, I still love how those movie posters look coming down the hallway though. It's just like going into a movie theater. It's, pretty fantastic. Anyway, we'll see how that works out with the smaller movie posters. It is tempting though with the eBay. I keep getting alerts, and there's just some really cool movie posters. I feel like I don't have enough space. Like I almost have to start going upstairs and get more of this shit. I almost need to like cut myself off of Etsy and eBay because there is just like way too much shit, and it keeps telling me like we have more suggestions for you. You should buy more of this shit. Like I'm pretty much got it all wrapped up downstairs as far as stuff I need to buy ish. I mean, there's always going to be shit I can add, which is, I guess, unfortunate. Like I could go keep like just adding more shit to it. Like I had thought before too with where I painted the hexagon pattern from the Overlook Hotel. I've talked about it many times on the podcast. Where possibly getting an axe from The Shining, which you can get axes that look like that axe fairly cheap, and then getting a display case and mounting it on that area. But then that would cover up a lot of the area that I painted. And that just would be cool. I mean, I could get some mounts to where it's not in a display case and just mount an axe up there, which would take up less space. But also, if I hang an axe above my above my kitchen cabinets, I'm going to want to make sure that fucker is nice and secure. I don't want that fucker falling off the wall and killing poor Agent Fox Mulder here, the three-legged cat, or, you know, falling on me. Although I feel like I'm going to know if, you know, there, I'll probably tell if it's starting to fall while I'm near it. I know I had the hockey puck case, you know, fall off the wall. And that probably scared the shit out of the cat. It happened when I wasn't home and it hit my table, unfortunately. I made sure after that it was really secure to the wall. I put so many extra screws in that thing and mounting to the wall. You could fucking hit that thing with an axe and it would probably still stay on the wall. It is not moving. I felt so bad that like it had fallen down. Like, I'm sure it scared the shit out of him. That was the part, you know, I'm always more concerned about him. Anyway. Yeah. It's coming together downstairs though. And, I'm probably still at least another month out before I get my ash bust. So I'm hoping that I'm pretty close to done with all that shit by the time that arrives. That I can have that nice and set up. Because right now I still have shit just all strewn out all over my kitchen. And don't have a great spot. I have lots of shit just... it's messy in there. And... I mean, it's not a complete mess, but I have a lot of shit everywhere. Paint cans, and whatnot. And I've been keeping a lot of boxes from packages I've had delivered because I've been using the cardboard to use for covering things, or also I've been using it for when I use the foam brushes for putting the primer on. I smooth out the paint on the foam brush from the foam brush, like on the cardboard. And so I'll like cut a piece of cardboard off for that. So, but because of that, I got a bunch of cardboard. It's like laying around. I got plastic laying around. Okay, it's a bit of a mess. But, yeah, I'm hoping that I can muscle through and have this done by June. It seems almost optimistic, though, because it's hard to put a date on, you know, because it's really been tough trying to get everything perfect. And it definitely seems that I am nowhere near perfect at this point. But I've got a small sliver of wall, basically, that, man, I would guess it's maybe what it's a little over a foot, I'd guess, by a foot area that is completed. You know, 12 by 12 inches. Maybe a little over. I'd say it's hard for me to know without actually going down there and measuring. But it is not a very big area that I have done. Though I have gone and made it around one corner. So that's something good to notice. I was going to talk a lot about too, but I guess we got a while yet, but unrelated to me painting the wall. I've been waiting for this to happen for, was it a year or more that initially this happened? There was news, and I thought it was dunzos, that it wasn't going to happen. But The Onion made a deal and to buy out Infowars.com. Infowars.com. which I've always enjoyed The Onion. Never been like a big, like, you know, constant like reader of The Onion, whatnot. But if you're unfamiliar, The Onion is the satirical newspaper that's been around forever. Like, I remember back in the day, while Michael Jackson was still alive, there was a story that The Onion made where it was that the real Michael Jackson had died, you know, sometime in the 80s, I guess, and that it was an alien that took over his body, and that's what the song Man in the Mirror was about. Anyway. That's just one of the stories I really remember from The Onion. But they, had, of course, had tried to buy InfoWars because, you know, Alex Jones famously lost, two lawsuits from families related to the victims' families of Sandy Hook, the school shooting. Happened, what, it was a long time ago now. Anyway, of course, when that happened, Alex Jones, everything to Alex Jones has always been a false flag attack. Everything's a false flag. And, of course, Sandy Hook was, he said they were crisis actors, and that it wasn't these families, they weren't real victims' families and whatnot, and this was just a plot to take everybody's guns. Anyway, because of that, the families that, you know, not only did they have their children murdered, but then had these psychos like constantly send them death threats and whatnot because they thought they were crisis actors. So, you know, having to move. Change their, you know, names. Well, I don't know if they changed their names, but they had to, you know, they went through a lot of shit to try to get, you know, people to stop bothering them. I mean, fuck, man. Way to make your life way even shittier after dealing with just the worst possible thing that could happen to you. Anyway, but they, you know, Alex Jones lost some massive lawsuits over that. He owes the families like, what is it, over $1 billion? I don't remember what the final tally was. But because of this, like InfoWars had to sell off like everything. And there's been like legal battles, like The Onion was had with worked a deal with the families were all on board for The Onion buying out InfoWars. And it seemed like it had gone through, but then Alex Jones was able to finagle some stuff legally to prevent that. And they'd been on the air up until last night. That was Friday, May the 1st, May Day. They were able to get, it's official. If you go to InfoWars.com, at least as the time I'm recording this, if you go to the InfoWars.com website, and it just says in very small font, off air. And, of course, Tim Heidecker of Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, off I believe was the name of the show that used to be on Comedy Central, or not Comedy Central, sorry, Cartoon Network on Adult Swim. He also, Tim Heidecker, does the Office Hours podcast that I usually watch. I don't catch every episode, but I catch usually just like clips of it. I've watched a few, you know, full episodes where they got Vic Berger. I forgot what the other fellow's name is. I watch a lot of it on YouTube is how I get that. But so I've been kind of following the drama here in the last few weeks because it picked up because where it had seemed that the full thing was kiboshed. Like it wasn't going to happen. But then the last few weeks, it was like it seemed like the families and stuff kept pushing through with The Onion, and it's official. They got it would appear The Onion has won the battle. And of course, Tim Heidecker is going to be the creative director of InfoWars. And they have rebranded with the website's logo. With the InfoWars, where the O in info is the Onion logo, which is pretty epic. And they have the rainbow logo as well, as the font is in rainbow font, which is fantastic because Alex Jones is, you know, one of his most famous bits was they're turning the frogs gay. which apparently they've achieved more than just the frogs now. So they've turned InfoWars gay. And I'm pretty excited to see what like Tim Heidecker is going to do with it. Apparently they're going to go on quite the hiring spree. And because it's finding jobs for, you know, funny people to create things is hard to do, especially nowadays is they're trying to use AI to create all kinds of shit, but they're trying to hire plenty of people for writing and whatnot. Now, the whole thing's basically going to be a parody of InfoWars. I don't know how well it's going to work. And they, you know, Tim Heidecker has been, you know, real honest about it. Like, you know, hey, you know, there's a good chance this may not last long. Or is, you know, sites that have done the same thing where, like, basically the idea is to do something like a funny or die situation where it was, you know, a website where you can go just watch a bunch of funny shit. Which is, I guess, what InfoWars is going to be. Are enough people going to watch it and go to drive the traffic? That's going to be... And is it just going to be the same joke over and over again? Because the idea is to do sort of a situation with, which I guess most of the stuff is the Colbert Report. Whereas just doing, you know, a character faking being that way. But I've seen, you know, little clips on The Onion on their YouTube and TikTok that they have. Suggesting that you know they're gonna have a few conspiracy laden shows. But I don't fully know what's going to happen exactly. I'm excited. Hopefully it like catches on. I would imagine at least initially it's going to see a lot of traffic, and that people, when it's new, they're going to be watching it. But will it sustain that, you know, and continue to be a thriving thing? And are Alex Jones fans going to like turn their wrath? I would assume they will turn their wrath on this website, and you know, hopefully we don't have any crazies go after Tim Heidecker, because I do enjoy me some Tim Heidecker. But I would assume that he's probably already gotten like some massive threats and everything. It is funny to see Alex Jones stuff on him, like going after Tim Heidecker. Because apparently Alex Jones did not know what the Onion was before the Onion tried to buy out InfoWars. He was unaware of the Onion and did not realize it was a satirical newspaper. And apparently he was also unaware of who Tim Heidecker was. And his attacks on Tim Heidecker have been pretty funny, where he's taking everything that Tim Heidecker has done, like, literally. And everything from the Tim Heidecker, or Tim and Eric show, there was, like, joke, you know, it was all satirical. It was parody, and just, there was stuff about abducting kids, you know, and stuff, but it was jokes. It was sketches, and just weird shit. Just weird shit. Him using that in his bits, going like, "Oh, Tim Heidecker is a devil worshiper. He is a devil worshiper, and he is abducting children." But yeah, it is pretty amusing that to take the Tim and Eric show literally, and Will Ferrell, of course, was on there, and he's like going after Will Ferrell for being a. As far as I know, Tim Heidecker was not at Jeffrey Epstein's island. I don't think he was involved at all. Just saying. But I haven't seen Alex Jones make that connection yet. I'll tell you what, if you want a good Alex Jones impersonation, Stephen Colbert used to do the Brain Fight, where he was Duck Buckford. That was pretty classic stuff. I know one thing that's been pretty sweet with the Tim Heidecker InfoWars bit is I've seen they've talked about the commercials, which if you watch the Office Hours podcast, they do some pretty great fake commercials for things. But they've got some stuff that, of course, InfoWars Notorious was the reason why Alex Jones had the money he has, or has the money he has, whatever. He's lost, I guess, some of it. It's hard to take all of his money, even though there's massive lawsuits against him. Anyway, he created his empire through selling, you know, dick pills and supplements, Omega Brain and whatever, the alpha brain. you know, all kinds of stuff. Get the gay stuff out of the water. You know, I'm gonna smoke a bowl. I don't know. But you know, all kinds of supplements, dick pills, what have you, and just real great products. But to carry on that tradition, apparently they're going to be selling. I think actually, like selling some like you could possibly buy some of this shit, but there was like an ad that there that he was doing. Tim Heidecker did an emergency like update last night where he did the ad. Actually, I had already heard him talk about this, but turn your piss into gold. Send us your piss and turn it into gold. So I'm wondering if people will send them their piss. That is that's risky, man, to make that joke. Because they will find your address. I don't know how that works, though. If you can I know you can send a lot of crazy shit through the mail. like sending, I'm just imagining, you know, like being working at the post office and like questioning a package. This sounds like there's liquid in here. What is this? I don't think there's, you know, they investigate, you know, what's in packages much. You're like, you probably get away with it. So I would imagine, you know, that could get risky. You know, don't, that one's tricky. Like sending, send your piss and turn it into gold. But there was I guess it was an ad. It was during the announcement. Heidecker was drinking what appeared to be wine, but he said it was real human blood. And it was like covering his mouth like it was like possibly some kind of fake blood. I don't know if like KO syrup was. It looked thick. It was looked like it was definitely staining his teeth. I was impressed, though. It was like an 18 or 19-minute video where he did talk like Alex Jones the whole time with that gravelly Alex Jones voice. Like, hopefully he's taking some lozenges and, you know, I don't know if he's going to keep doing that voice the whole time he's running Infowars. But that's challenging, man. That's challenging. That's vocal fry and then some. And, you know, if he's doing like an hour or more of a show, like that's harsh on your voice. Just me talking like this, you know, and I think probably because of the fact that I weld all the time. is a lot of the problem, but I have, you know, issues with my voice, which I didn't have that problem before I was a steel worker, but unless I talked for an obscene amount of time, but again, just talking normally, it fucks up my voice. It gets hard to talk, which I'm surprised at this point after I've killed the whole Red Bull that I'm not talking a mile a minute, because I have cut back on the caffeine. Hence the headaches. But I figured we're just having the Red Bull now and getting at least one day where I didn't have any caffeine in my system to where you would think I'd be like bouncing off the walls. But I've remained kind of chill. Kind of chill. We'll see if that lasts. the whole, you know, weaning off of it. Usually what happens when I get myself weaned off caffeine, I'll end up getting sick. And the only way I can get anything done, usually like when I've been sick, is to just say fuck it and just start pounding caffeine again to give myself somewhat of a kick. Because regardless if you're sick or not, you know, there's still things. When you're an adult, there's shit you got to do. And it's got to be done regardless. And so, you know, I then really lay on into the caffeine, but I haven't been sick in a while, which I feel like I'm just asking for it. Knock on wood here. I'll probably get back down to zero and then just caffeine, although maybe I won't go full zero on the no caffeine and just save it for when I'm going on driving somewhere and need a little bit of a kick. We'll see, though. We'll see. Because caffeine headaches are fucking no joke, man. If you dance with that devil long enough. And then what really fucked it up is the caffeine has just not been strong enough for me lately. The amount I've taken. And I was having issues where, you know, I take one when I... before I go to work, I'll drink a Red Bull. But then driving over to Eureka to go trail running after work, fight dozing off. And so I'm like, fuck. Had days where two Red Bulls. So they're the 8-ounce ones, the smaller ones you can buy. But doing two in one day. And then I did two in one day too as well, trying to get some painting done. And I think upping that intake of caffeine at multiple times a day really fucked it up, because that's when I started having the caffeine headaches when I wasn't doing that, you know. And so, it is, gotta get somehow back to zero or close to zero again. And, hopefully just, get rid of the toe situation, the, ingrown toenail, and get back to somewhat of running and, finish painting. I think that will be the real task here, is to somehow muscle through all of that to where I can then have time for life in general. Because right now it is eating a lot of time, just doing all the painting. And I haven't had a whole lot of time to run or do much of else. And of course, my toe being all banged up gives me another excuse to not go run. But I've definitely, with the painting situation, I was maxing it out at maybe 2 hours. But I've done more than that with painting the orange. I've done like several hours. I think the first night I did it last week, which was, I think, after I recorded the podcast, I spent like 5 or 6 hours. Oh, I spent quite a while. I'm not sure if that was before or after the podcast. But I've definitely, the last couple of days, I've spent quite a few hours up there doing it. And I'm just like, at this point, not really thinking about the time so much as like setting a goal and getting there. Like going, I'm getting to this point on the wall. Which can take a lot longer than, you know, it's been rough. But again, if I fuck it up, I can go back over it and fix it. For the most part, it's gotta be pretty fucked up before I can say like, oh, that's just gotta be how it is. Though the longer I work on it, the more I'm just like, you know what, I don't know that I'll notice this little fuck up here from a distance. maybe I will end up wanting to put an axe over the wall. As Asian Fox Mulder's food just went off. His automatic feeder. Which I'm guessing he was already downstairs. So he must have already ventured down there. So I didn't hear him running. But really, yeah, that's all I've got. I should mention Shelley is, I don't know if he's in Vegas yet. He's leaving for Vegas today with Nabina. And they're going to see No Doubt at the Sphere. He was hoping that the Utah and Vegas Knights series would end up going to Game 7, but they won it last night in Game 6, so it is not a Game 7. He had gotten tickets to go see Game 7, but not a thing. He's trying to trade in to see Game 1 versus the Ducks because he will be in Vegas, I believe, he said, till next Friday. And so they should have it. The first game should be in Vegas, I'm pretty sure. So that'll be, I don't know when yet, though. So he'll be able to go see the Vegas Knights, which, you know, he is a Blues fan. He is the one that turned me on to the Blues. My dad could give a shit less about hockey. My mom definitely not. But as a child, it was Shelley that first showed me the Blues, and during the Cujo, Brett Hull era, that whole era was. But he's, you know, been, you know, a lifelong Blues fan, but since he lived in Vegas, you know, he's a fan as well of the Vegas Knights. It's like a secondary team ish. And so and they still have one former Blue that was on the Cup team, Ivan Barbashev, which, you know, it's always good to see one of the former Blue Notes taking it, you know, further in the playoffs. Whereas off the top of my head, I think from the Cup team, you got Vladimir Tarasenko, who's on the Minnesota Wild there in the second round, and Ivan Barbashev on the Vegas Knights I'm not sure if there's anybody else from the Cup year from the Blues there that's currently in the playoffs. I know there's other former Blues that are in the playoffs, whereas Montreal Canadiens have Zach Bolduc and Alexander Texier. And so they're playing, but they were not on that Cup team. So, but, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, former Blue Notes get further on there. And, you know, Barbashev has already had a couple of Cups. He got, was he on there for two with the Knights? I think the Knights won two. I forgot if they won one or two. But, of course, Alex Pietrangelo was a Vegas Knight who was the captain on the Blues during the Cup year with the Blues. He was on there for quite a few years on the Blues. He just retired. He's no longer on the Vegas Knights. But, yeah, that'll be exciting to see. I wouldn't mind going to see a Vegas Knights game in Vegas. That'd be pretty sweet. I've been kind of keeping an eye on the playoffs. I was hoping Pittsburgh would force a game seven, and they failed. They did not pull it out against the Flyers. It ended in game six. I was hoping old man Crosby could Super Mario's protege would be able to get one more run at it. I don't know how much longer he's going to play. He's like 39-ish, 40-ish, somewhere in there. But, yeah, that's really all I've got for the night, I guess. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.